Blog Talk Radio.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died.
Folks, praise the Lord. We should be on. Amen. So we, on this Thursday evening, it's Brother Wally Langford coming to you live. And we're always, one of these days I'm going to get this radio thing worked out. I don't have to guess and wonder. But anyways, we're coming to you live on this Thursday evening, praying that the Lord help me make it through this. I got something in my eye yesterday, and it's kind of like, well, I don't want to say like Paul, because Paul's thorn in the flesh wasn't his eye. I mean, a lot of people say it was, but thinks it was, but it wasn't. The Bible's plain on what Paul's thorn was. Huh? It should be normal. Anyway, we got a communication problem here again. And I'm going to hook it up. I'm running. I've been on radio many times all my life and get things running right. Not all my life, I shouldn't say that. Feels like all my life. I've been on radio for a long, long time. And I praise God for this opportunity. We're praying that we're on. Anybody out there listening, tonight, we say this so we can check, see what's going on. Anybody on my Facebook listening tonight, go ahead and give us a thumbs up or whatever. Just let us know it's going out okay. And, 'cause we're not picking it up here yet for some reason. And, we're going to try, you know. So, like I said, we're trusting we're on the air tonight. I hope you are. I'm not going to get into preaching yet unless I know I'm on the air for sure. And we're listening to some advertisement or something on our end of it. Shouldn't be nothing on there but us. We should be able to be hearing us on there. Brother Lonnie, if you're out there tonight, brother, send me a message. Give us a thumbs up if you're listening, brother. If you're not, I understand. But if you happen to be sending us a message, a thumbs up that you're hearing the radio broadcast. Anyways, I'm Brother Walter Langford, again, and we're going to try and see what's going on here. Have no idea. Y'all hang tight if you're listening. Trying to see if we're on, folks. Is anybody out there tonight on the radio? Let us know you're listening, okay? We're having trouble on our end, and it's probably recording us right now, and it ain't doing us no good to even be talking.
It's showing.
Showing we got 1 hour and 54 minutes, so apparently, somehow, some way, it's showing we're on the air. We don't hear anything. Anyway, we're going to go to a song. Go ahead and see if you can play that song again. I'm going to go off for a minute and check this thing out. Be back in a minute.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another. Stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another. Stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
Make sure it's all. Well, folks, we're back. We're just going to trust we're on the air. We're having technical difficulties on my end. We're praying it goes out funny. The devil's been fighting me ever since I got on this radio. And it reminds me of old days. I stayed on Crusade Radio for many years, and every time I turned around, something was coming up. I'm preaching tonight on sinner or saint. And I'm going to bring out a lot of scriptures tonight. We'll be reading a lot of Bible and see how this goes because I want to bring out the scriptures on. I don't believe I'm a sinner anymore after I got saved. A lot of people believe they are because, you know, when you hear them and they talk, you know, they say that, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I used to think that. I used to hear that. Even the songs, I used to think about the songs, how, you know, it sounded good and everything, you know, and I thought that was right. Now, I don't believe it's right anymore. After I studied the Bible and the Lord started laying on my heart about all this, and I realized I can't be a sinner and a saint at the same time. And, well, praise the Lord, we got thumbs up. And, I'm going to try to get into it tonight, Lord willing. And like I said, pray for me. I got something in my eye. And trying to deal with that all day. Been up half the night. Last night, not complaining. I praise the Lord for everything. And I don't praise Him for the eyeball hurting, but I praise Him for helping me through it. Been a good day today, even though I had to take off work and everything because of it. But I still praise Him. But anyways, I'm not a sinner anymore. I don't believe. I'm a saint of God. I became a saint of God when I got saved. And a lot of things in here in the Bible I'm going to bring out. Now, I might get people writing me on this. But I believe, according to the scriptures, that I'm going to read them and go from there. And if I can read my own writing, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. To begin with, and start from there. So, Lord, bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, be my mouthpiece. I've already prayed. A lot of times I don't even pray. You know, I don't want to think anybody think I'm this spiritual, which I am. I'm a spiritual man. The Bible says, so if a man think himself to be spiritual or prophet, let him acknowledge that these are the commandments of the Lord. So somebody's got to be spiritual. And if you see a fallen brother, he said, ye that are spiritual, restore such a brother. So I know you got to be spiritual somewhere, and I believe I'm a spiritual man. I've studied this Bible for 30 years, been saved for 30 years, and been preaching for almost nearly that long. But I don't believe I'm a sinner anymore. I don't believe I sin every day. Now, some people say I sin every day. I said, well, I don't. And I just don't. I don't believe I do. And I can back it up with a few things. You know, even like we follow the Bible where it says in Proverbs, you know, it talks about the ants, you know, how they get ready and they store up and they protect their family and everything. You know, that's nature itself. You know, the Bible says, doth thy nature itself teach you, you know, some things. So I was born a sinner, but when I got saved, I became a saint of God. I don't believe I can be a sinner again because I'm saved, but also, too, what I was talking about a while ago without trying to run rabbits, about sinning every day, that's like your children. This is why I say this. I believe God showed this to me, that my children didn't do wrong every day. They were, you know, I mean, I didn't have to get on to them. I didn't have to whoop them every day, you know, or anything like that. And I believe God showed us, you know, through the scriptures. I mean, we're a child of God. We can't be a child of Satan, and I'm going to prove that here in a minute. Once we're saved, and I'm going to read to you. I'm going to read to you out of the Bible, but I want to read to you here, if I can find it right here, exactly, what I say exactly. This is what I found so far, the definition of a sinner. It says, one that has voluntarily violated the divine law. Y'all bear with me, too. Preaching with one eyeball is pretty, you know, tough, but I got two, but it seems like I'm struggling with my eyes. Moral agent who has voluntarily disobeyed any divine precept or neglected any known duty. It is used in contradistinction to saint to denote a unregenerate person, one who has not received the pardon of his sins, an offender, a criminal. That's what it says in the dictionary, 1828 dictionary. And now I can look it up in the other ones. I can go on, everybody goes to Wikipedia or whatever that is. So anyways, but the Bible shows about what a sinner is. You know, there's many sinners mentioned in the Bible, not by name, but by their actions. You know, they were sinners. And so I don't, the point I was trying to make, though, I don't believe I sin every day because I don't. Now, I'm not going to say I've never sinned since I've been saved. But the Bible teaches, Paul teaches, not me that sinneth anymore, but that old man. I don't believe my soul. This is where I believe God has taught me in the Bible, from the Bible, that my soul can never sin. It will never do anything wrong again in my entire living life because my soul belongs to God. He saved my soul according to what I studied in the Bible. Now, my man, my old flesh, now he might blow up every now and then, but we don't have to sin according to the Bible. I'm going to show you from the Bible. I got 2 hours to tell you. I'm going to try to bring out every scripture this time that I've read, and I hope it don't bore you. The Bible don't bore me, okay? And God's Word of God, it never bores me, even just reading. I'm not much of a – I just preach, okay? And I'm going to try to bring this out in a way tonight. I've been thinking about it all week, you know, because I preach hard. I preach fast. I preach – you know, I just preach. I let God use me. That's who I am. That's who God made me. I preach loud. I try not to preach loud on this radio because it's a whole lot different than being on the street or inside of a church building. But I'm going to back everything up with the Word of God, but I'm going to read through the Word of God, and hopefully that will give you the power, the confidence that you have in Christ that you say, hey, look, you know, I think it's why people walk in defeated life for Christ, and they're saved. I believe there's a lot of people out there that are saved, but they say, you know, I still sin, and, you know, I'm having a problem with this. And the Bible says lay aside that weight and that sin that so easily besets you. The problem is a lot of people haven't laid aside that sin. That's why you say you keep sinning. You know, you're saved, and you know that you're saved, and you know that God deals with you. And remember this, too, a child of God, listen to me, when you're first born again, even the first 5 years of your life, you're learning, man. You're crawling. A lot of times, you don't start off crawling. You start off reading. And, you know, like the babies, you look at life. God has life set up to where we can see things around us in life and see how God works. He works just like nature. You know, you don't see a baby picking up a book and reading a book until it learns how to read. Amen. And so as a child of God, a newborn believer, we'll pick up the Bible if we can read. Being born again, the first year, the second year, you're reading, you're studying, you're learning, you're walking, you're starting to walk. Amen. You're crawling there at first, and then you crawl, and then you walk. And then you start picking up how you're supposed to live your life, and then God, through that whole time, God's teaching you who you are and what you do and what you don't do. In the beginning of studying in your life as a child of God, now, as you might stumble and fall, say the first 5 years, you might do things, you're thinking, oh, man, I don't want to do that, but I've done that. And so God is teaching you along the way, but there comes a time, even in your children's life, that you teach, and the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he shall not depart. So we're teaching our children how to grow up. We're teaching them how to walk. We're teaching them what to do and what not to do. And that's what God does through his word, teaching us how to walk, how to talk, where to be, where to go, where not to go, what to do and what not to do. And God, over the years, we got to grow up. You hear what I'm saying? We got to grow up. We got to realize, hey, I don't have to do that. You don't have to lust after a woman. You lust after a woman because you allowed that in your heart. That's sin. There's nothing wrong with looking at a woman, but what the Bible says, if a man looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. Then that's when it becomes sin. Amen. And God's teaching us that as we start growing in the Lord, that these things we don't do, and we should be able to come to a point in our life that we don't do those things. Okay? And I'm not saying that we won't ever sin, but I'm telling you this, the older you get in the Lord, you should be able to say, I don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. I tell them a lie. And people got saved out of being a liar. A lot of people lie. Okay, and then so in their walk for the Lord starts teaching them that they don't do that anymore, that they got to come to the point in their life and realize, hey, I don't do that anymore. That's that weight, that's that sin that so easily beset that person, and God says to lay that thing aside and don't pick it up no more. You don't have to pick up lying. And I'll tell you this, that cunning little reprobate called the devil, he can trip you up if you're not careful. You can lie and not realize that you're lying, but God will show you and tell you that you lied. I know. I got myself in a predicament one time, and I thought I was being honest. I thought I was telling the truth, but I found out I wasn't. I was telling a lie. And God smote my heart over it. He said, Wally, it looks good, it sounds good, but look, think about what you're saying. Now realize, really, what I was saying was a lie. You know, when you start telling somebody something, and you stretch it a little further and further, and you add to it, and you're lying. But God is telling us that we don't have to do that. He is telling us we do not have to sin. That is a total lie of hell that the devil has told us because we're saved, and that you still call yourself a sinner, that you're just good by nature, by law, that you're going to sin. That's a lie. That is a total lie. How can, listen to me, the Bible says to stir up your pure mind. To stir up your pure mind. You got a pure mind. The problem is we're not stirring it up. We filtrate our minds with garbage. We filtrate our minds with Facebook and YouTube and all these things that have sin surrounded them. And then we wonder why, as a child of God, we can't focus because we're not focused on God like we're supposed to be. That's right. We don't read our Bible like we're supposed to. We don't pray like we're supposed to. We can't get in touch with God, but we know we're saved. And the reason God don't hear you sometimes is because you got
sin in your life and you've allowed yourself to get lazy. Then you sit around and be lazy and then become real fat. And then you become a couch potato full of sin. Sitting around watching all these things and doing all these sins that you know you ain't supposed to because you let yourself sit on that couch too long. Been sucking up those potato chips, man. You done got fat and lazy. Amen! But I don't believe you sin every day. I believe it's a cop-out when people say, I'm saved, but I still sin. I'm going to sin. No, you're not. You're going to sin because you said you're going to sin. You sin because you've already made your mind up because some preacher told you because even though you're saved, you're going to sin. Then why does God tell us not to sin? Why so many times in the Bible does he say, don't sin, don't sin, serve your pure mind, keep your eyes on Jesus. When you lust, and you can't blame the devil. You hear what I'm saying? You can't blame the devil because you're sinning. I get tired of hearing that. Well, the devil maybe did. No, he didn't. The Bible said when you sin, you sin. That's because you're gone away by your own lust. God don't even make you sin. God don't even put sin out in front of you. God can't sin. God will never sin. God will never put something out in front of you as sin. Now the devil, he'll put women out there. He'll put nasty movies out there. He'll put bad attitudes out there. Anything that's against God, he will put it out there. But it's up to you to say no, because you need to say, I am a child of God, and I don't have to do that. And see, let me tell you something. The Bible says that we, as a child of God, know the cunning devices of the devil. We know that it's the devil. We know that he throws something out there. But a lot of times, you put your guard down. Let me tell you something. The devil will come around you at your weakest moments. He will. You're having family problems. You and your wife, or you and your husband, you and your children, all these things coming around you. The devil's going to come around you. Yes, he will. The devil sends some whore around you that could care less about you and your family. He will put her out there. He will put, I'm talking about a man too, a man whore, a man prostitute. He ain't no different than a woman prostitute. And then women out there, man, listen, that's why I believe, listen, I'm going to run this thing, okay? I ain't lost my place. I'm going to tell you the difference between a sinner and a saint tonight. Amen. Oh, devil, man, he'll put it out there. That's why women don't need to be working. Amen. You're out there on that job force and you're rubbing shoulders with men, and you and your husband had a fight that morning. Yeah, he knows it. You come into work with a bad attitude, you start rubbing shoulders, he starts feeling sorry for you. And you like it. Next thing you know, you commit adultery. And then you look around and say, what have I done? How did this happen? Because you should have been at home to begin with. Huh? But he sends somebody, the devil knows. He's got cunning devices. And let me tell you this, he ain't there doing that. He'll send somebody because he can't be everywhere at once. Only Jesus can do that. Only God can do that. The devil's got his little bastard kids running around out there. And that's what they are to me. I'm pretty forward about what I say about something. I get more forward if God tells me to. If they can turn me off all they want to, but I'm here as a child of God. I'm here as a saint of the Lord. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed to preach truth, amen. Everybody getting away from the truth. Everybody hates truth today. But that devil, man, sent one of his little bastard kids down there. He's a kid. Let me tell you something, too. I'm running around with police. Don't call your child a kid. A kid is a goat. You ever thought about that? We don't think about the things we say. A kid is actually a goat. You can't find anywhere in that Bible that God calls your child a goat or a kid. When he's speaking of kids, he's talking about a goat. And there's a lot of kids that I know, they're goats. home, brother, but I ain't lost where I'm at. What does God say about sheep and the goat? Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to pull this out real quick and get off because I want to get to read the scriptures. Boy, if you're a sheep, you can't be a goat. If you're a goat, you can't be a sheep, right? So that means you're saved, right? Not lost, right? If you're lost, you're a goat, right? So that means you're either a saint or a sinner. Is that not correct? Because you can't be both. Hello? Who did Jesus throw out the same? Sinners. What were you before you got saved? A sinner. What did you become? A saint. Amen. That's right. I haven't found anywhere in the Bible, and I'm going to read scriptures here in a minute. Y'all just hang on. I got 2 hours to bring them out. If anybody's listening, I don't even know if anybody listens anymore. I preached on the radio, on Crusade Radio, for 10 years, and then hardly everybody, maybe 5 people on that thing, it seemed like. But like Jesus said, I'm going after the one. Amen. I want to be encouragement to the saints of God tonight. I really do. I'm not preaching mean to you. I'm not trying to be ugly to you. I'm going to preach as God gives to me. I'm trying to bring it out tonight in a way that will help you to understand. And I want to throw this out there while it's on my mind because that's the way my mind runs. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, you say you are, and you still are dabbing in sin, you say, well, I want this, and I'm going to stay in this for a little while. God is going to beat the snot out of you. You hear me? And I'm going to bring that out in a minute, too. I'm going to bring the scriptures out, okay? Because if you can get away with your sin, you're a bastard. Yeah. Oh, look out now. There's a distinction between the saint and the sinner right there. You hear what I'm saying? Hey, in Hebrews chapter 12, God calls you a bastard. If he does not save you, you are a bastard. You're not a saint and a sinner. You're either a bastard or a saint. Yeah. Hello. Preach that. Amen. Even the part where Paul said, I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself, but I got to get it to you as it comes to me. I'll read the scriptures here in a minute. Again, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, that God chastens those whom he loves. He loves the sons. And if you are without chastisement, therefore are ye bastards and not sons. Hebrews 12. That means you're a son. He didn't call you a son and a sinner. You're either a son or a bastard. Which one are you? You can't be both. You can't travel the face and say, I'm going to serve God today and the devil tomorrow. You can't do it. Because if you are a son, God said he chastened those that are in his family. My mom and my daddy, they beat my butt real good when I done wrong because I was in that family. And they told me, you don't do this and you don't do that. But old brother Wally, go out there and do that he wasn't supposed to do. And mama didn't waste no time, baby. My mom was a little old bitty woman. I'm a big old boy, but I tell you what, she wasn't afraid of me. She bucked the snot out of me. Why? Because I was her son. Hello, let me share this with you. I like getting it all out there because I always have it on my mind. Y'all, I might be afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of that, but I might die. You're not a bastard because, see, this is where the church misses it too. This is where, see, we pick up on worldly things. You know what I mean? We pick up on these worldly things. What makes you a bastard? God's not your father. Study it out. Well, you know, the dictionary says bastard is one without a father. He's not a father. You can't get any. You can't come into the world without a father. Well, I don't know my father, but you got one. That don't make you a bastard. The Bible teaches that if God is not your father, then you are a bastard. You're not a son. So which one are you, a sinner or a saint? You're a son or a bastard? If you're still living in sin and God is not chastening you, you are not a saint. You are a bastard. Wow. What? Read it. Hebrews chapter 12. It explains it very well. That's just one of them. Amen. And when I say I don't sin every day, I don't sin every day because I'm a son of God. And God doesn't chasten me every day. Let me tell you something. I have been saved for 30 years. And in my 30 years of my walk with the Lord, I know when I do wrong. You hear me? I know. He said, well, how long can you go without sin? I don't know, but I don't want to sin. I don't get up in the morning and say, well, I'm saved and I'm a sinner, so yeah, it don't matter. If I sin today, it don't matter. I'm just a saved sinner. Now, that is dumb. That is so, and I've heard it from people in church. And that's why we're defeated in our walk for God. Let me tell you something. Once you start believing and trusting in God what he said, that you're not a sinner anymore when you get saved. The problem is this. One of the biggest problems I've ever seen, most people that are saying that, they're still sinners. They're not born again. That's why they get away with it. They never changed. They've never been saved. They're still a sinner. But they go to church. They say, I go to church, I've been baptized. Are you saved? Well, I hope I am. I hope I get there. Well, you're not saved then if you're hoping. Salvation is not a hope, though. A salvation of the Lord is a no-so salvation. I had a hope-so salvation that I was going to heaven when I was in the Catholic Church. I was hoping I'd get there. I'd go tell that perverted man behind that box. Everything that I did, I was just a little old bitty boy. And something in my heart had already told me, this is crazy. I like looking at somebody that I'm talking to. I don't like looking through some kind of hole and you can't see his face. You know what I mean? I don't have a hope-so salvation. I got a no-so salvation. God tells me when I'm out of line. But I don't get out of line every day. That causes you as a child of God to be defeated in your life. Everybody's, well, I'm not perfect. Well, I am. I'm sorry. In Christ, I am totally perfect. I am a perfect being down here on this earth. My soul will never sin. My soul has been taken by God. He saved my soul. Is that not correct? God saved me. My old man is going to boot up his head. But Paul said, I die daily. When your old man starts giving you fits, you put him back in the grave. Read in the book of Romans, Paul and Pharaoh said, it's not you that's sinner. I'll get to that in a minute. It's in John, too, 1 John. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to try to read one eyeball. I got two open, but one of them blurred. See, I guess I'm going to start with verse 1. I'm going to start with, now let's go to verse 1. I'm going to start with verse 11, but I'm going to start with verse 1, okay? And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Amazing. I just love the Bible. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Jesus, listen, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. He's telling us we don't live that life. We don't live according to the lust that's in our heart, the lust of homes and money and women and cars and more money and more money and more money. We don't live in those lusts. That he no no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We are to live according to the will of God. Everybody says, well, what is the will of God? To live according to God. What God tells us to live, the way God tells us to live, the way when God says, don't do that, you don't do it. You know what? It ain't hard not to do it. It ain't hard to say, look, I'm not doing that. Look, I ain't going to lust. I ain't going to look at that stuff. I ain't going to turn my computer on and look at pornography. I ain't going to do it. And if you got a problem with that, like I said last time, and you can't get away from it, God made a way to escape. Get your shotgun out, put it in the front yard, and blow it to hell. Huh? Well, what should I do if I'm lusting at the women on the job? Lay it aside. You can't do it like you do the computer. You got to die to yourself. Amen. You got to realize who you are. You got to know that God said to lay aside that sin. And if you don't lay aside that sin, that's where you sin. Duh. Lay aside that sin is so easily to set that weight. It's a weight on your shoulders, man. It's a weight to you. It's bringing you down. It's bringing you way down. And then you're leaving yourself open. Let me ask you this. What thing in your life really causes you the most problem, and the devil knows your weakness, and he throws it out there, and you just suck right up to it, man? And you know, I'm still a sinner. No. You're not. But you go right to it every time. That's the sin that God's saying, get that weight off of you, boy or woman, girl. Get that away from you now. Can a man put fire to his bosom and not be burnt? Huh? You play with fire, you're going to get burnt. Listen, you know how many, there's thousands and probably millions of homes that have been destroyed over sex, over pornography, over garbage, because the man didn't lay aside that sin. Or the woman, she didn't lay it aside. She didn't stay away from it because her flesh got in the way. Oh, you got a flesh out there. He didn't get your soul, but he got your flesh. You didn't die to it. Listen, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Listen, food is a lust too. You know people lust after food? Dear, listen, I am not blasting overweight people. Really? May I tell you this, there's a lot of lazy people out there who just can't push themselves away from the table. That's lust. You're lusting and you're in sin. See people, man, years ago when I had a television, you see them out there, man, they're crying and whining to Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil's a reprobate. I throw that out there now, you can tell it to me, he'll probably sue me. But that's all right, I preach to him when I look at him face to face. He don't know God. He does help people, though, overweight people. But that's sin. When you're lusting after food, that's sin. You cause yourself to become big, 500-600 pounds. You sinned against the Holy God. You're putting hurt on that body, just like smoking cigarettes. That's a sin. Why? Because you're destroying your body. You're destroying the temple. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And when you're sucking on a cigarette, man, you're sucking it down the lungs, and the Holy Ghost has got to smoke that garbage. You're destroying something that belongs to God. God, Jesus said he went to the cross. He paid the price. He paid the ultimate price for us. He took our bodies. We became a temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And the Holy Ghost of God wants to work through us. But he can't do it sucking on a cigarette. know, I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes before I got saved. I was sucking them up like a freight train. I ain't kidding. You cut no slack on them. And I couldn't figure out why I smoked when I hated it to a point. There were times it was good. I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to sit here. I'm sharing my heart. And I know I get in trouble when I start sharing the truth. But I'm telling you the truth. And God one day smoked my heart. And then I tried to hide it. I'd sneak around, smoke a cigarette, man, and I knew the preacher was coming up when he come over my house. Hey, I led song service. I pastored a church. I preached in churches. Man, I run a church bus. I've done all that stuff. I taught Sunday school class, and God told me one day, he said, Wally, you cannot be an effective Christian or an effective witness for me sucking on a cigarette. And I'd be at my house, man, and I hear a car pull up, and I just lit up a cigarette, man. I look out the window, and I say, oh, my goodness, it's a preacher. What do I do? He stayed up there on my front porch, and I had a big old fan, an attic fan. Guess what I was doing? I was sucking a cigarette smoke out there. He's like, yeah, he's in there smoking again. Hey, you can't hide it. God don't lie. Be sure your sin will find you out. Hello? Yeah. Your sin will find you out. But God told me I could not be an effective Christian or child of God, a witness, and plus my body belonged to Him. And so I gave up smoking. I got rid of it. I wanted to be pleasing to God. That's the truth. I can take you right now to this. I'm talking about it was 30 years ago. I can take you where I threw that stupid thing out. I can take you right now to McNeil, Arkansas, down in the creek bed. I'll show you where I stole my last cigarette out that I had stole from my mother. Yeah. Lord might let that thing become rock out there. So see right here? This is my last cigarette right here, and I praise God that I laid it down. Why are you talking about this? It's a lust. It's a lust in your heart after cigarettes. We're going to lay all that aside because it's sin. Chewing tobacco. Ow! Hey, I know some Christians, quote unquote, they chew, man, like a chewing going out style. That's what I'm talking about, Jesus, and spitting on the floor. They think they're doing good. You know why they're doing that? Because their preacher ain't telling them nothing. Hey, anything that destroys the temple of God, I'm talking about, I'm working on some things too, man. I'm serious. Laying those sins beside you, man, putting them down. You lay them aside. Stay away from buffets every day. There's nothing wrong with going to buffets. If you can back away from the table, when you're full, when you laugh at the food, you're sinning. See, a lot of people don't preach on this. We preach about adultery and fornication and drunkenness, and you shouldn't be doing that if you're a Christian, but you shouldn't be getting fat. And I'm not being ugly. If you're laughing after it, and I understand some people just have weight problems. I am not being ugly to anybody like that. I promise you. Some people have problems being ugly. And I'm not picking on ugly people. I'm one of them. But I rejoice. I do. I thank God I'm white and ugly. You say, what are you doing? I'm going to goof off and preach a little bit here. And it's kind of funny, man. I have nothing to do with my message, but it's kind of funny how people say I'm black and I'm miserable. I wish I wasn't black. Why did God make you? Huh? Y'all be glad who you are. God made you a woman, stay a woman. Nobody can make yourself a man. And we got perverts all over the place. We got guys that want to be women. You know what? When you die, when you stand before Jehovah God, you're going to stand as a man. You hear me? You ain't going to stand there as a woman. You're going to stand the way God made you. You hear me? When you come back before God and you change yourself into a woman, you're going to stand as a man. And if a woman changes herself into a man, she's going to stand as a woman. Yeah, you might play around down here and change some things, but when you stand before God, you're going to be what God made you. If it's black, white, polka dot, purple, whatever it might be, you're going to stand before God.
Ooh.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. Michael Jackson went to heaven black. Or he went to hell. He didn't go to heaven. But when he died and stand before God, he's going to stand as a black man. And then when we're changed, I don't know what we're going to be. You hear me? I ain't stupid. But we're going to stand as we stand here today before we go into the gates of heaven. And whatever God is, or whatever, however God looks, whatever, however Jesus looks, that's what we're going to be. And I got news for y'all, too. I'm going to throw this out there and get back to where I was. Because I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a saint. Jesus wasn't black. And Jesus wasn't white. And the way I understand the Bible, he was a Jew, was he not? Now, you figure that one out. Yeah, I know what I have. They have a fight going on now. I'm going to write him on Facebook. I got news for him. He's lost. Man, I preach from the Bible and people say, you're lost. You're going to hell. You know, especially, well, God hates. Oh, God hates the sin. The sin. Oh, God hates the sinner. Oh, you're going to hell, preacher. There's something wrong with you, man. God don't hate anybody. Really, well, Psalm 5:5 says he does. God hates all workers of iniquity. But I'm going to hell because I believe the Bible. I'm going to hell because I preach the Bible. I'm going to hell because I got to pass John 3:16. I'm going to hell because I got to pass Acts 2:38. I'm going to hell because I got to pass Matthew 7. That's only 3 verses Christians quote-unquote know. But I'm going to hell because I preach the Bible. Praise God. I got news for you. I ain't going to hell. I'm a saint of God. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. See, I ain't going to get through all that. I want to get to a bunch of these. For the time past of our life may suffer us to have... You know, hang on a minute. I got salt water in my eye. The will of the Gentiles, which we walk in lasciviousness, we walk. There's a past word. Past is past tense. Okay, let's do. Okay, stop here a minute. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? As a child of God, for whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we got everlasting life because we are what? Because we became what? A child of God. But whosoever believes in him is not condemned, but whosoever believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's a difference and distinction there in John 3:18. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. John 3:17, John 3:18 said, for whosoever believeth in him is not condemned, but whosoever believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So either you're condemned or you're not condemned. You can't have them both. All right, let's get up here. I'm gonna get up here. I'm going to pass all these. I'm still in 1 Peter chapter 4. Okay? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of. But on your part he is glorified. So this is the child of God, right? That's what he's talking about. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy. F-E-R-G, the name of Christ. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Amazing God put that in there. Don't you think? He put it right there in the verse when he's talking about murderers and liars and thieves and evildoers. Right? But then he says, listen, but let none of you suffer as what? A murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody. Don't suffer as that. Right? Why? Because happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Don't suffer for these things. Why? Because you're not them. He said, yes, if any man suffer as a Christian, hello, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. On what behalf? That you're a Christian. And see, nowadays we're afraid to say we're Christian. We're trying not to be proud, but God said if any of you suffer as a Christian. And the problem with me is, too, I'm talking about me. I look at people that call Catholics Christians. They're not Christians. They call Mormons Christians. They call Jehovah's Witnesses Christians. Everybody's a Christian. No, they're not. You hear what I'm saying? If you say that you're saved, but you're a sinner, then the Mormons are saved and sinners just as much as you are. Ooh, did you catch that? Do you understand that? Because you're saying they're sinners and they need to get saved, then what are you? But let none of you suffer as a murderer or anything else. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now listen, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, who? The Christians. Huh? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, hello, wherefore shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, which one are you? A saint or a sinner? If you're still a sinner, you say you're a saint, then where are you going to appear? Apparently, if you're a sinner, you're not going to appear with the saints of God. Is that not correct? Huh? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, the righteous, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? He's asking you a question. Where are you going to appear then? Well, you know I'm saved, but I'm a sinner. Well, which one are you? Are you saved or a sinner? Because apparently right here, God said, I'm not going to be standing with the sinners. Let's see here. Let me go back here real quick. Since the Lord showed me that just then. Let me see here. Let's see what the Bible says here. Okay. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Huh? What? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, and nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, if you're still a sinner, then you're scornful. Huh? You might, if people would say, well, I'm saved, but I'm scornful. Huh? What did he say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Which one are you? A saint or a sinner? Shall not. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Think about it. I'm trying to help somebody. Really, think about it. What did God just say in Psalm chapter 1? Huh? Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now, if you're saved and you're still a sinner, where are you going to be at the judgment day? There's three people God's talking about right here. Three people. Huh? The righteous, the ungodly, the sinner. And what did God say? We'll not all stand together. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So where do you stand? Who are you really? I'm trying to show you something here that will give you encouragement. Hey, listen, when God showed me this, I realized, wait a minute. When God told the disciples in Luke chapter 9 that we have power and authority over the devils, He said, don't rejoice in the fact that you have power and authority over the devils, but rejoice in the fact that you're saved. But he did give us power and authority over the devils, and guess what? We have power. We don't have to be defeated. He made a distinction all through the Bible who sinners and saints are. I think this is good, don't you? I do. Praise the Lord. Okay, one more hour. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast into hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Nowhere that I found anywhere yet in this Bible that God ever called me righteous and a sinner. You say, well, what about Paul when he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners? I'm glad you asked that. I asked God about that. That's just like me giving my testimony. I give you, Paul was giving his testimony. I give you my testimony and how sorry. What can you give me? You said, well, man, I was a sorry dog before I got saved. I'm not calling myself a sinner. I said, man, I've done things wrong. I sinned against the Holy God. I did. I've done things wrong. That's what Paul's saying. He said, I was the chiefest of sinners, man. Look at what I've done, y'all. Look, I killed Christians. I had them beheaded. I had them beat up. I had them stoned. I had them stripped of their skin. I had them boiled in oil. I was the chiefest among sinners. I did all these things bad. But Paul always talked in the presence of the saints of God. Paul never said, I'm Satan, I'm still a sinner. Paul said that he wrestled with his flesh. Those things that I would, I do not. Those things I do not, I bad. Those things I would. But you know, never one time in all that he ever said, I'm a sinner. Just like God. Let me ask you this then. You asked that question about Paul, about his achievements of sin. Okay. Was Rahab a harlot when she went to heaven? Was Rahab still a harlot when God forgave her? Well, no. Then why does God call her Rahab the harlot? She's not a harlot anymore. People that get saved, they're not harlots anymore. People get saved, men or women. They're not drunkards anymore, right? Because if you're saved and you're saying you're a sinner, that man's still a drunkard. I had a fundamental independent novice in Snellville, Georgia, come up to me preaching on the streets down there in Snellville, trying to tell me that when you're saved, you're still what you was. I'm like, really? Where in the Bible does it say that? That means when I got saved, I'm still a whatever. Rahab, she was still a whore then. Rahab went to heaven being a whore when the Bible said no whore or whoremonger will inherit the kingdom of God. And the Bible plain about what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not enter into the kingdom of God, be not deceived. Is it fornicators? You ever fornicated before you got saved? Yeah, I like to tie it in. I'm going to work on that sometime. And I'm going to tie it in. I'm going to say, yeah, these guys talking about having only one wife. I said, how many women did you sleep with before you got saved? Huh? Well, what do you mean? Well, go in and study. How many were you with before you married your wife? Huh? Six? You got seven wives. What? Well, the Bible calls you one. In First Corinthians, we talk about even the homeless. When a man marries his wife, they become what? One flesh. That's a good sign up there, too, about oneness. There's two people, but there's only one. Hello? That's what Jesus and God is. Then there's three of us, Father, Son, and me, when I got saved. But then the Bible talks about if a man joined himself to a heart, they two became what? One flesh, just like it was in your marriage. Wow! Yeah! Yeah! And there are some guys out there that have never been but with one woman, that's your wife. And I think it's wonderful. Really. You've been blessed. Some people got into sin. But they got saved. Hallelujah. And your sins are never to be remembered again. None. Zero. Nada. So if you're saved, you can't be a sinner, because if you're still a sinner, then God still remembers your sin, and guess what? You're still going to hell. Huh? Where's I at here? Spared not. And spared not. If God spared, he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Righteous and ungodly again. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, America and Gomorrah, America and America, Twin Cities, Bossier and Shreveport, Louisiana, Fort Worth and Dallas. Yeah. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Huh. God destroyed them. Who? The ungodly, the sinners. I'm going to show you some. It's even in Isaiah. Did you know that? God didn't have no problem destroying sinners. Hey, what did Abraham say? Listen, Lot sinned, man. Lot was wrong for going down to Egypt. But what happened? What did Abraham ask God? When the angels came down and spoke to Abraham, God, will you destroy the righteous? With who? The perverts. Huh? And God spared Lot because of Abraham. God was going to kill every one of them. But Abraham asked God. And God spared what? A righteous man. Though he was in Egypt, he was still a righteous man. He was wrong, but he paid a price. And turning just like David, be sure you see to find you up. David sinned against the Holy God, but he was still a righteous man. God didn't call him a sinner, called him righteous. David was a man after God's own heart. But he lost his son. God killed him. He paid his sin. What about the thief on the cross? When he got saved that day, was he a sinner? I don't think so. Was he a thief? I don't think so. Did he go to heaven? Yep. What about the other thief? He went straight to hell as a thief. Yeah. I'll get some more scripture in a minute. Bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample. So remember that, y'all. He's going to destroy America. Yes, he is. He's going to come down and burn this wicked reprobate place up because he told y'all, hey, man, listen to me, preacher. You better start preaching about sin. And I'm telling you, God said, if you live in the same example of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to burn you. That's right. And deliver just what? Next, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. There's a distinction. Hello? And deliver just like vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, hello, righteous and wicked, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds. Didn't say, I'm a righteous sinner. He said he's got a righteous soul. The Lord knoweth, listen now, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Amazing. You call yourself a sinner, that means you're unjust. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Listen. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast. That's a warning. Because he didn't call you wicked, did he? Huh? He called you beloved. Listen, you ain't my brother either, man. I hear people ask my brother, you ain't my brother unless you're saved. If you're saved, you're my brother. Well, you can't hate him because he's not. He's your brother. He ain't my brother unless he's saved. And I know the scriptures very well. We talk about the man says he loves a man, loves God, and loves not his brother. Well, you ain't my brother. And let me tell you something. The brotherhood that God talks about in the Bible is not black and white, red and yellow, honey. We said the brotherhood is talking about the saints. That's the brotherhood of God. It don't matter whether you're black, white, red, yellow, polka dot, and purple. It don't matter. If you're saved, born again, you're my brother and sister. But if you're lost, you ain't my brother and you ain't my sister. Let's go to John chapter 9. I got a bunch of scriptures here. Y'all don't mind if I take my time, do you? Thank you. How much? 50? Oh, we're doing fine. Praise the Lord. I hope y'all listen. I got this. The Lord just showed me this one here. John 8. Verse 11 says, who's he talking to? The woman in adultery. Huh? Jesus forgave her. Then what did he tell her? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Huh? Amazing. Don't you think so? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you're a saved child of God, you are not going to walk in darkness. You call yourself a sinner, then you got darkness in you somewhere. And Jesus said, if we got him in us, hey, we got the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ indwelleth in us. He said to stir up your pure mind. If you stir that pure mind up, you won't have time to think about doing wrong. That's right. John 9:31. Well, let's go to John 8:55. I like this. I like when Jesus says something to them. The Pharisees always giving Jesus a hard time. Jesus always got an answer for them. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. He's calling them a liar. He called them a liar to their face, man. Oh, God. Brother Wally, you shouldn't be calling them a liar up in the streets. You're preaching to a liar. You're calling them a liar. Yeah, Jesus did. That's the Pharisees. That's the ones that think, hey, I'm going to work. I'm going to do enough work this week to get to heaven. Yeah. I've met a lot of people here lately that they're trying to work their way to heaven, and guess what? They're just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the Bible, and they're not righteous. only in their own eyes. They are righteous in their own eyes. They think they're going to Paul was righteous in his own eyes until he got saved. He followed the law. He was the best law keeper on the face of this earth. He was trying to work his way to heaven. Just like the Pharisee, because he was a Pharisee, was he not? And Jesus said, ain't going to get you there, Paul. That's what a lot of people are trying to do today. The more I'm thinking, boy, what a sad life to live, trying to work your way to heaven. How will you know if you've done enough? When you get to heaven, you're going to say, I hope I've done enough work. I don't want to go to hell. Listen, Jesus did it all at the cross. He died for your sins. He shed his blood for us. And let me share this with you. Salvation is not in the cross. It's in Jesus' blood. The cross was used as an instrument of God for Jesus to hang on that cross. But the cross, there is no salvation in the cross. The cross was cursed. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Yeah, I know. I ain't going to get there. I'm trying to get back now. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Him, God hears you when? You're a saint of God. When you're worshiping God, he knows you. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. That's a powerful verse there that God gave to me a long time ago. I thought, well, if God don't hear the prayers of a sinner, that's what he said. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. So if you say you're saved and you're a sinner, guess what? You got a problem somewhere. I think most people just don't understand. See, we're afraid to say, it took me years before I could say I'm a saint of God. You know why? Because I heard all these people, oh, don't get so self-righteous in yourself, you know, and you're just self-righteous, you're proud. No, I'll tell you what, God first said, well, you are a son of God, boy. You're my son. Oh, think about it. Hey, when I got to the point where I understood that and believed that and saw that God said, I'm his son, now are we sons of God. That means I'm not a sinner. Because if I'm a sinner, then God don't hear my prayers. We know that God don't hear the prayers of a sinner. He don't hear sinners. The only thing God, if you want to say hears, is when a sinner repents to God and asks God to save him. God will hear when a person gets saved. But on here, right here, he's talking about that he does not hear you unless you're a child of God. Unless you repent of your sins and get saved, God doesn't hear you. He don't hear you. That's what it says. Now we know that God hears not sinners. But if a man be a worshiper of God, doeth his will, him he heareth. Huh? All right, let's go to 1 John. Huh? Okay. 1 John. I'm trying to help you. Hey, I walk in a victorious life, man. I'm serious. I got battles. I fight the devil, and when I realize, hey, man, it's just the devil, man, coming against me, I just fight him. Hey, man, the devil's taking, I mean, he comes in, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Those that love God, he wants you to be defeated. He wants you to think you're a sinner. He wants you to really believe that. You know why? Because they will defeat you. Now, if we sin, then we confess that sin, and Jesus said that he is our propitiation. He is our go-between. We confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get up and go. We get out of it, and guess what? We don't go back to it. What was I saying? 1 John. 1 John 1. Let's see, 1 John 1, I think it's 2, 1 John 2, 1 through 6. My little children, they can't be a child unless you're saved now. These things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for yours only, but also for the whole sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So where do you stand? See, when you say you're a sinner after you're saved, you're saying, well, man, I get by with it. You're not keeping his commandments. He says, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. But whoso keepeth his word, in him is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. The darkness is out of your life. If you're a child of God, the darkness is gone. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Like I said, your brother is a child of God. And now in your sins, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I didn't write this, God did. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Huh? Right? Okay, now let's go to 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not, because it knew him not. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love? The love that God put bestowed upon us is that we became the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now. When? Now. What does now mean? Now. I'm going to cross the road now. I'm going to get some water now. What does that mean? Later? No. Now. When you got saved, it became now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. We purify ourselves. You know, you take a filter and purify water to make the water clean. We purify ourselves through what? Through the word of God. We purify. Pure. Amazing. He said, we purify ourselves as he is pure, right? We read the word, we take the filter of God, and we cleanse ourselves to what? To stir up our pure mind. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We have a pure mind. Everybody, not everybody, a lot of people think we don't have a pure mind. We're saved, but we're not pure. Yes, we are. Then God's a liar, because he said, stir up your pure mind. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Who? God. Christ. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. for sin is in the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. That's the Bible. He's in us. Our souls, our flesh fights us, but we cannot sin once we realize who we are. Like I said earlier, I have no desire to sin. None. No desire. Some people get up in the morning, boy, I'm going to go down here, man. I'm going to go, hey, man, I just can't wait to see that woman again. What did he say? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And you go back, I ain't got time to do it, but you go back and study Luke chapter 8 when he talks about the parable of the sower. Huh? The word of God is a seed. He talks about the devil, the first seed he talks about. He talks about the sower of the seed. He talks about the first seed, talking about the devil comes and takes it away, you know. And it's amazing that God put this in the Bible, but it says, lest ye believe and be saved. Once you believe what God said, you repent of your sins and ask God to save you, repent of your sins and ask the Lord to save you, you became a child of God. You are God's now. You're not the devil's anymore, because, see, there's a distinction there. You're either a child of God or a child of Satan. I've heard it preached all my life. So if you're a child of Satan, that means you're still a sinner, because a sinner is a child of the devil. That's who Jesus came to save. They're lost. But their seed, when it talks about the seed remaineth in him, the seed remains in us. The devil can't take that seed when we get saved. He cannot take that out of us. I ain't got time to deal with that tonight. But he can't do it. All right, let's go to Isuea. Y'all like Isuea? Isaiah. I'll show you something here. Isaiah. Chapter 1, verse 28. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Did you hear that? Now, what did God say in Psalm 1? The righteous shall not stand in the congregation of the ungodly or the sinner, right? What did God say he's going to do here? And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. Now, I point out to you, there's a distinction in our lives. I hear people say, you know, I'm a saint of God, but hey, you know, I'm still a sinner too, you know. Hey, sing that. I used to listen to that song called A Sinner Saved by Grace. I'm a sinner that was saved. I was a sinner saved by grace. But I'm the saint of God now. Because to be a sinner, you have to be saved. Because Jesus said he came to save sinners. But there's a difference. Well, what's the difference? Well, what is the difference between a saved sinner and a lost sinner? One's saved and one's lost? I don't think so. The Bible's very plain when he specifically points out the difference between sinners and the ungodly. Let's read that again. Isaiah 1, verse 28. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. So where do you stand? You say you're saved, and I know you're not going to forsake the Lord. So that means you're not a sinner, right? Because if you say, well, you're a sinner, even though you're saved, then you're going to be consumed with who? The transgressors. And those that forsake the Lord. Let's go here. Isaiah chapter 13. Again, listen, Isaiah 13, verse 9. Behold, take notice, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Amazing. You hear what I'm saying? What did God say? It's coming a bad day, man. Huh? The day of the Lord cometh. Cruel, bold, with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Are you a saint or a sinner? Because if you're still saying you're a sinner, and you're saying you're a saint, well, God is going to destroy you. But that can't be if you're a saint. Right? Because he's not going to, because the wrath of God is not going to come upon the children of God. I hate the preachers. I do preach that even. No, we're not going to have the wrath of God on us. Why? Because we're a child of God. Because you're still a sinner. Either it is or it's not. I choose by the word of God to believe that God said, I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a saint of God. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I became a son of God when the day I got saved 30 years ago. I became adopted, what, into the family of God. And there's no sinners in heaven, right? Yeah. Right? Come on. Proverbs 3:33. I like that, 3:33. Proverbs 3:33. Praise God. 3:33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Amazing. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. If you're a sinner, then you're wicked, right? That's not what these preachers preach. I'm serious. I'm just being serious as I can be. Is that I hear preachers preach this all the time. Well, then if you're a sinner, then you're wicked. You can't be saved and a sinner and be clean and not unjust. Right? Psalm 125. Folks, I'm going to read a lot of scripture, man. I ain't just running off at the mouth. This gave me peace in my heart, man. This gave me even more stability. It gave me more power in my life and just knowing. Because I never walked around, to be honest with you, I never, for 30 years, man, I never walked around thinking, well, I'm still a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by God. By grace, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm saved, but I'm a sinner. No, I've never done that. There's a lot of things God just gave me it all at one time when I got saved. I mean, man, right there for a month, I was on the milk, but then after a month, man, I've been chewing on meat for the rest of my saved life. I never doubted my salvation. I never doubted that I was going to be saved forever. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. I never doubted that I wasn't saved, man. I never doubted. So I'm still a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint of God. I became a son of God when I got saved. I wasn't hoping to get to heaven. I knew that day, May 25th, 1984. If I had died right then, I was going to heaven. And not one time did I ever call myself a sinner again. I got saved. And then songs that we listen to sometimes, you really need to sit down. I tell you what, there's a bunch of them nowadays that I listened to back then, and I listened to them, and I thought, like, wait a minute, that song ain't right. That song ain't right. That's like this one song, I like Black Gospel. It's talking about, I'm coming up the real side of the mountain. I'm hoping I make it in. Uh-oh, that's about. You hope you make it in. I can't listen to that song anymore. There's too much doubt in there. When you start listening to things that have doubt in them against the scriptures, you better leave them alone. I got all kinds of music here at my house. I don't listen to them much anymore because a lot of them, man, just learning over the years. I don't doubt. I'm a son of God today. because I became a son of God on May 25th, 1984. I got saved and sealed. I am sanctified until the day of judgment, until the day that God takes me out of here, whether by the grave or when Christ comes. I have been saved, sealed, and sanctified, buddy. I am sealed until the day of redemption, what God said. If you're walking around and you don't know if you're saved forever, you ain't saved. I don't know why everybody else got. I've been to all kinds of churches, man. I've listened to it all. You got to have this. You got to have that. You got to do this. You got to speak in tongues. You got to be baptized. Listen, all that works. That's the stuff the Pharisees were doing. Pharisees thought, man, they were good people just by they had to wash their hands before they ate any food. That's worse. You know what? The Pharisees and Sadducees and the hypocrites and the fox and the snakes and the vipers went straight to hell. Unless they got born again. Psalm 125. Nay, that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. My goodness. Just believe God. I abide forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth his hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, oh my goodness, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. There's a distinction, folks. There's a distinction here, people. Good, huh? Evil, upright, evil, righteous, wicked, unrighteous, huh? There's a distinction. Let's see. Matthew 9. I think I might have read that, but I won't read it again. Matthew 9. How much time, boss? Good. Matthew 9, 13. But go ye and learn what this meaneth, what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, which one are you? There's a distinction, people. There's a separation here. And I don't mean nothing by this, but listen, there's black and there's white. There's red and there's yellow, right? Huh? There's white, red, there's black, there's purple, there's yellow. There's a distinction. I want my room to be painted orange. Not yellow. Huh? Do you understand that? What did he say? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You're either righteous or you're not. You're either saved or you're lost. Huh? You're either a son of God or a son of Satan. Tough, ain't it? Okay. Matthew 5. I'm going to read what I can until we shut off, and I have to. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Uh-oh. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And said it's rain on the just and the unjust. Huh? Did y'all hear that? He didn't say the just sinner. He said the just and the unjust. On the evil and the good. Evil cannot be good. And good cannot be bad. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Hello? Oh, even at your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Huh? Matthew 25:33-46, sheep and goats. Distinction. He made a specific distinction between the sheep and the goats. Huh? Listen. Let's go to John 5. John chapter 5. Hey, I'm trying to help people. I really am. I'm hoping this is, man, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm trying to help you where you, man, you walk more victorious life. Not in pride or arrogance, but in knowing, man, that faith comes by hearing, and that's what the Bible says. Amen. You hear it from the Word of God. John chapter 8. I'm sorry, I said 5. It's supposed to be 8, I believe. John 8. I hadn't 8 yet, but John did. John 8, the number 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, watch it now, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. You hear me? And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and bode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Wherein he speaketh a lie. But he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Huh? Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He then that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God.
See that if I need to read any further.
Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hath a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. See, even here. They called him a devil. We're still sinners after we're saved? I don't think so. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, I already read that verse about being a liar. He told the man to their face, if I say that I don't know my Father and I've never seen him, I'd be a liar as you. There's a distinction here, people. Let's see here. Okay, I'm already past that. Matthew 5:48. We're in Matthew 20. We're in John. Let's see. John 17. Now, we're almost getting close to the end of wrapping it up, people. And if you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved. Listen now. I pray, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came out from them, from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. How about these people that got saved? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus don't, like I said even earlier, God don't hear you, the sinner's prayer. He said that he don't hear sinners. And Jesus said he don't pray for them. He prays not for the world. He prays for the saints. We are now. We become now. We are now the sons of God. We're not later. It's not later. We become sons of God now. I believe I've read that already in First John. Now, in First John, now have we become the sons of God. When we believed, when we repented and asked God to save us, we became sons of God. Is that not correct? And then I started out in 1 Peter. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it must. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You still a sinner? Are you a saint? You can't be a sinner and saint. You can't. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You love one and hate the other. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then again, there, I believe it's in Hebrew, it talks about laying aside the sin that so easily besets us. Right? How much time we got, Bob? Okay. Y'all don't mind me asking you that, do you? Let's go here a minute. I had quoted it earlier, and I'm going to read it before I read the last verse. Wipe some of the sweat off my glasses here. I'm coming out of the Bible. That's all I'm going to say about it. Let's see. Wherefore, seeing, I'm in Hebrews 12, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now that was a command. He said, well, I got this sin, and God said to get rid of it. Because if you don't get rid of it, somewhere God's going to chasten you if you're a child of God. That's who he's talking to. The Bible was written to the saved people, not the lost person. There's verses in the Word of God that are that tell you about the lost person. It tells you where the lost person is going, but it's not written for them. It was written for the saved person. The lost person can't understand the Word of God until God opens his ears and his eyes to it. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about, listen. Wherefore means go back and read. Go back and read Hebrews chapter 11. It ties in. That's why it said wherefore. It means going wherefore. It says, you know, you read all these things. Since you've seen all the saints of God that were killed and beheaded for Jesus and boiled and split in half. And he says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Anything that's in your life that's in the way of God, get rid of it. And the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's there with God, y'all. I ain't going to get into that, but he's right. He's set down. He's sitting down right there with God. There's not one body with three heads on it. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Huh? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Not saying, he didn't say we were sinners again. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. God chastens his sons. If you're not a son, you are a bastard. You don't belong to God. That makes you a sinner, right? Now, simple verse in the Bible. I could have read this one and sat down all night. Simplest verse in the Bible. And I'll be closing. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, the creature, the way I understand the Bible, where I've read, I've listened to all these preachers for 30 years. I've listened to a bunch of preachers in 30 years, I promise you. And every one of them that I've ever heard that are of God always said, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That means when you became a child of God, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He is a new creature. We were born what? Sinners. Is that not correct? We were born sinners. Because of Adam and Eve, sin, because of what they've done, we were born into sin. We were born sinners. And we live our lives, and when Christ comes our way and deals with us, and he will come your way. God will have spoken to everybody on the face of this earth. He said he would. He said every nation will have heard the word. Why would he give them the word? Because they're sinners. Why, who did Jesus come to look for? Sinners. Who did Jesus come to save? Sinners. He came to save sinners. God saves you. You become what? A new creature. Why did he say old things are passed away? If all things become new, that means you became what? A son of God, a saint of God, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, a child of the King. Right? So that means you're not what you was. That's past tense. Old John chapter said if you is what you was, then you ain't. It's simple. In those simple words. If you is a sinner, and you're still saying you're a sinner, then you ain't a child of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. We walk around, we call ourselves a sinner. I was a sinner at one time, and God said that's gone. Is that not what that means? Is that not what that verse means? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Right? That's now. If you're in Christ, that's now. You are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They are. They is. Not maybe so. They are. That's even in salvation. When you look at it, he's talking about saved forever. We are sealed until the day of redemption. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance, not the righteous, right?
Right, right.
Huh?
Is that not what he done?
We're to lay aside every sin, every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. You'll have sin pop up, you got to rebuke it. You'll have sin throw up in your face, you got to stay away from it. You don't sit there and say, okay, come on, man, come on. We'll dab a little bit. Well, that God says, okay. God says, I'm going to beat the snot out of you. God chastens those whom he loves. And remember, the godly must stand in the seat of the scornful and of the sinners, right? Is that not what it says? That's right in the book of Psalms, first chapter. Right? Now listen, I'm going to read it again before we go off. We're probably getting close to going off. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Difference. Blessed is the man that walketh not, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, who, a child of God's delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, in his word. And he shall be what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You believe that? It works. I promise you. That's a promise from God, too. The ungodly are not so. They're not going to prosper. They look like them, but they ain't. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, that means, back what you just read, therefore, that since the ungodly are like the chaff, and the wind drives them away, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So, there's a distinction. Is there not? You can't be a sinner and a saint. You're either a sinner or you're a saint. And I know this. Let me finish reading this. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows your way. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly. God knows who you are. You can play games all you want to. You can talk about God all you want to. And you're harboring sin and lust and greed and sex and all that filth. And you post things about Jesus and God, and yet your sin in your life, your heart is desperately wicked before the eyes of God. There's all kinds of religious people out there. Go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every revival that's ever opened is going straight to hell. God knows who you are. You can play games all you want to, but let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, God is going to whoop the fire out of you, and God has been whooping the fire out of you, and you ain't going to listen to him. And God listened to him when you study the Bible. God will turn you over to the devil for the destruction of your flesh. Hey, you might go to heaven, but let me tell you something. God is going to make it so bad on you down here. He's calling you. That's the long-suffering of God. That's the mercies of God. Hey, miss a lost person. If you've never repented of your sin, you don't believe God, you are going straight to hell. And you say, God, how long-suffering is that? God is giving you another opportunity today. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear my loud voice preaching to you and telling you're going to hell, and if God made a way that Jesus Christ went to the cross for your sins, he's telling you today is your day. Today is your day of salvation. Today is the day that you repent before God. because tomorrow may not ever come. You might be driving down the road and get killed in a car wreck. You might be driving, laying in your bed tonight, and you close your eyes and go to sleep and not wake up. Yeah, you want to preach, try to scare. I try to scare. I'm telling you the truth. Hey, listen, you little reprobate. If you're saying that, you're lost and going to hell, man.
Yeah.
You're the one that needs this. You're the one that needs to get right with God. And the Bible does say, scare some, fill with fear. Pulling them out of fire. I'm trying to keep you from going to hell. People don't want to hear about it because you love your wickedness. You love darkness. Even Jesus said that. You love darkness rather than light. You're a reprobate in the eyes of God, and you better repent or you're going to burn in hell. You understand me? Quit playing your religious garbage like the Pharisees. They went straight to hell because they rejected the Son of God, and you're doing the same thing tonight. You reject the one that's given you an opportunity to get saved. You're rejecting him, and God said, I ain't going to come your way much. The Bible says you better take heed when God's Spirit dwells in you because he deletes. The Bible says God's Spirit will not always strive with man. If the Holy Ghost of God is convicting your heart tonight, you better fall on your face right there in your living room or wherever you are and repent. Tell God about all your adultery. Tell God. Get right with God.
Well, folks, I appreciate you tuning in. We've got 1 minute. I got 90 seconds. That's nice for that lady to tell me that. Hey, if you're not saved, get saved. But appreciate those listening. Hey, y'all pray for us. Amen. Y'all pray for the saints of God. I do. I pray for all the saints of God tonight. That's mine and Noah's prayer. And listen, I appreciate you tuning in tonight. Praise God. We got to go on. And again, Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, God. Thank you for liberty to preach. I pray that you deal with hearts. Lord, I don't want anybody to go to hell, Lord. I can't make them get saved, Lord, and you can deal with them. You're not going to twist their arm, Lord, and prod them. You'll give them the word of God if they don't take heed. Lord, they'll go to hell on their own. I do pray, God, they'll open their heart to you. I pray for the saints of God that you'll show them, God, that they're not sinners anymore. We're saints. We're ambassadors. We're sons of God. And I praise you so much for that, Lord. We're already sons of God down here. So, Lord, we glorify you. We love you and praise you so much. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. We all get a chance to tune in Sunday morning. Brother Randy P. Sunday morning, 11:30. More blessings.